friends in Christ, what follows is a sermon from Dr. Just. Sometimes it takes us a while to catch up with God. We have our ideas on how things should be done, but they may not be what God intends. Paul and his companions certainly knew what this was like. According to their mission plan, they were bound for Asia and then Bithynia, but God had other ideas. The Spirit of Jesus, in dramatic fashion, prevents Paul from going where he wanted to go and directs the mission so that the divine initiative prevails. Jesus continues to be the active force behind the church's mission. So Paul goes to Troas, a coastal town, but the Spirit of Jesus blocked every human initiative and left only one alternative, Europe. And as Paul had experienced on the road to Damascus, and Peter and Cornelius concerning the Gentile mission, a vision from God advances the mission into new territory. A man appears to Paul in a dream, calling him to come and help the Greeks in Macedonia. And Paul can only conclude that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Thus begins the first of the we sections of Acts, where Luke reports in the first person plural as an active member of the mission. Luke will follow Paul to Philippi, staying behind there as a pastor when Paul and Silas travel to Thessalonica, Berea, and then on to Athens. Luke does not resurface in Acts until the third missionary journey, when he joins Paul and the others in Troas, having come there from Philippi. Luke served as a pastor of the congregations in Philippi and Macedonia during those 7 years between the second and third missionary journeys. According to the tradition, Luke's birthplace was in Thebes, where his bones have now been returned. As a Greek, Luke would have appreciated that Macedonia was just the right place for the mission to begin its work in Europe, and Philippi just the right town. In typical Lucan fashion, he describes Philippi in great detail as a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And as one who may have been her pastor for over 7 years, who could fault such detail? We don't know what Paul preached to Lydia, the wealthy woman from Thyatira. We don't even know whether she was a Jew or a God-fearer, for all we are told is that she was a worshiper of God. Whatever it was that Paul preached, it led her and her household to the waters of holy baptism, and then to welcome Paul and Luke with warm hospitality as they celebrated the first Eucharist on European soil. But we do know that Philippi became a center of the European mission. Paul's letter to them, his final epistle, written from Rome as he awaited his trial before the Roman authorities, tells us of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippi is one of the few churches Paul allowed to send him financial support, a community of faith he regarded with great affection. It is remarkable that Paul, under house arrest, should write to Lydia, his first European convert, and the rest of the Philippians, that they should rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. His reason for such unwarranted joy is the Christological hymn he penned earlier, one that to this day rings with clarity as to the hope we have in us. At the center of that hymn is Christ the servant, humbling himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. For Paul, Christ crucified was the center of his preaching, a claim he made earlier to the Corinthians. Paul was persecuted for preaching the humility and poverty of the cross, just as you will be persecuted for preaching the same message. Don't be swayed by other portraits of Jesus who make him into something he's not. Don't be tempted to massage the itchy ears of an American Protestant culture that does not want a Christ whose bodily presence continues to feed us from his cross with his very body and blood. That crucified Christ, God has highly exalted and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That bread you eat and the cup you drink comes from your crucified and resurrected Lord. For you dwell in Christ, and Christ dwells in you. In his merciful compassion, he sets you free from the bondage of your sin, giving you a life that never ends. That was true for Lydia and the Philippians, and it is true for you. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Amen.